Hey guys, this is Amber. You're about to watch episode 5, the game plan of This Is Us. Let's break it down. Get ready for this game.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
And if you give me
Whitney, she is out sick today. We wish her the best. She will be back next week, I promise. But in the meantime, we have an amazing panel for you guys today. You guys can find me on Twitter at Amber Plaster and on Instagram at Amber Plaster. And next to me...
Hi guys, I'm JJ Juergens. You can follow me at JJ Juergens on Twitter and JJ.Juergens on Instagram.
Hello everyone, I'm back. I'm Sarah Feeney. You can follow me on Twitter at Sarah Feeney TV.
Hi everybody, I'm Erica Shannon, and you can find me on Twitter at Miss Airy Baby.
What an episode. So we found out on Twitter the whole hashtag, the trending hashtag of the day was Where's Jack? And it was something that we were all wondering. So I still actually have some questions. So we know that in the year 2006, based off of Kate's memories of watching the Super Bowl with her dad, as of 2006, Jack has passed away. Unfortunately. So that does give reason for us to think that Rebecca has remarried because of death, but we actually don't know. We don't know if they remarried before then. What are your guys' take? Do you think that they remarried before then? Do you think it was a death in the family and that's what caused the remarriage? What are your thoughts on Jack?
Oh, wow.
I don't know. I kind of feel like maybe it was before, but that's because, and I'm kind of getting into my prediction a little bit, I think Jack might have been sick, and so he kind of let Rebecca go, in a sense.
That's so sad.
That's what I'm thinking.
Erica, it's so sad.
I'm sorry.
I hope that he was sick, because I think before I predicted the last couple weeks ago that I thought he got in some sort of like car accident and died, and I was hoping that it did not have to do with drinking at all, which...
Me too. You know,
Yeah. You know, and just based on the flashbacks, we know that those two can get into serious fights. So it made me kind of think maybe they just kept on fighting and like they just slowly grew apart and therefore caused a divorce. Therefore, she remarried later on and then he died. So I don't know. That's up in the air.
It is. It's completely up in the air. One of the things that I love about this show is every time I think it's getting ahead of itself, because we talked last week when we saw a sneak preview for this episode when it showed Beth taking a pregnancy test. And I was like, as somebody who watches a lot of TV, and I'm sure you guys do as well, you're like, you kind of start to guess when things happen. And for me, that pregnancy test was really soon. I was like, aren't they a little soon to be getting pregnant in a series? Like, a baby is what you do to, like, push season 2 and 3 and 4 on to, like, change up the family dynamic. And I was like, it's like episode 5. What are we doing here? But they had me, though. They completely had me. I thought she was pregnant. The entire episode, I thought for sure she was pregnant. They got me. I don't know.
Yeah, I was pretty tricked, too. Like, I thought, yeah. I'm glad they weren't, though. I was glad that was the outcome. But I loved how it just... brought everything, all the conversations that they had leading up to that, because I think the show does such a great job to me just of saying how people really talk and the real issues that you think about. And now her just being like, well, she thought she was going to get her job back and her chance to have her time after raising these kids, and all the just real feelings that you feel that you might not want to say because you feel guilty, like you should be excited that you might be having a baby, but there's really those... You know, and then, of course, the talk about, well, whether they would not, they're not even discussing doing an abortion or anything like that. But it's, you know, all those real situations that you'd have to deal with.
Yeah, it's very true. And, you know, when, you know, as a viewer of the show, I was like, you know what, it seems like they're a very stable family out of all the different couples that we see right now. But they're like the most stable. They have two loving daughters and they're really well supported family. And like, is having a third child really that terrible for them? Like, they can handle it. So I was kind of surprised that they were so thrown off by the fact that they might be having another one.
I'm just going to say that, going off of what you were saying, JJ, when they were sitting in the bathroom having that conversation, that's when I realized that she wasn't pregnant. Because they kind of built it up to the point of, oh, it'd be nice to have a son. Oh, this, that, and the third. I was like, okay, it's going to turn out that she's not. Because they just made it where it was like this big thing. It would have been so great. But
see, you knew.
Yeah.
They had me. I would argue that it would be a big deal if they had a third child. I mean, we see Randall at the beginning of the episode almost put a chemo pill in his shake, or his wife's shake, because he's run so thin, and it's because he takes care of everybody else before himself. So having another kid would just literally be taking more of himself away. And I think that he would be a fantastic father, but he needs a little hand time.
Well, mm-hmm. I think they definitely figured out if they had the other child. And I think right now he's just also dealing with the fact that he's dealing with a dying father while he's also trying to raise his kids and have his brother show up out of nowhere. And, you know, so I think there was a lot going on that morning. I think it would have been interesting if they did have the son, if they would have named it after the father. It would have been a nice little... Ooh. If the father passed away and then they named the son after the father.
That could still happen.
That could still happen.
That could be the season two.
So this this TV show actually did get renewed for an entire season. I think it was 24 episodes.
I think it got pushed to 18.
Something
from
18.
13?
Full order. It's a big, healthy, hefty order for these days of television. It used to be like 35 episodes. Now it's like you get 8.
Yeah.
So that's good. So we know I'm pretty confident there'll be a season 2. So I am excited to see if that actually does happen. As far as naming the child after Randall's biological father, that would be really cute. But would you, I have a question for you guys. Would you leave your kids at home to go to this big beautiful hotel suite that Kevin let Randall have, or would you be too nervous to let Kevin watch your kids?
I'd be too nervous. Yeah, be like, no, I'm hiring our nanny or babysitter to watch over the kids, because I mean, granted, yeah, I understand he's desperate, he just wants to get out and have some time to himself, but that wasn't the smartest idea on Randall's part, and he's a very smart man.
I think he used the fact that William was there as like a buffer or cushion to say that nothing too terrible can happen, because they left kind of like in the middle of the day, I think. And so it was more so just, okay, make sure they don't hurt themselves, put them to bed, and then your job's done. We'll be back tomorrow. So I think I wouldn't necessarily be the first to leave my kids with Kevin, but I think having William there helped.
I agree. I think that's what, and I think that's what kind of sold the Beth on it too. Mm-hmm. That at least there was two of them, because I know Kevin was making her really nervous with his comments and his jokes that she did not find funny. You know? But I love seeing when they get to the hotel. I love seeing Randall want to just have loud adult sex, and like just that seeing him go through all that like was a fun, because he is so serious all the time and so stressed. You know, that I liked that moment of getting to see him like think that he was going to get to have a little fun time.
Yeah, he walked through and he was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Shower, room service. Like, yeah.
And I was like, oh, you deserve this, dude. But to me, it was a testament for how mature his girls were, because I think, if anything, they could pretty much watch themselves at this stage. I mean, they're both really intelligent. They know their schedule. They know to brush their teeth and do their homework and not cause a fire. Like, they're well-behaved kids. I think he was more had faith in his kids than... Is it obvious that Kevin has been babysit up until this point? I don't think that he has.
I don't think he spent
like
a lot
left
of time
alone
with them. Yeah,
with the girls. No, probably not.
Yeah, I'd be nervous too. I don't know. It was a really good way of showing, because he was kind of like trying to learn his lines, which it was good that he was doing scene study and everything. And they were like, "Hey, come play with us," and he was like, "Huh? What? Oh, I have to do something with you." Like, it just didn't. He didn't seem to know that it was going to be needed to be a little more hands-on.
I love the irony in this, because he's supposed to be helping the girls and watching them, and yet he's making the girls help him this situation. I'm like, that's not really how babysitting goes. Yeah. You know?
So. I mean, it could be if you were, like, delegating, you were like, oh, I mean... I think we talked about that last episode. Like, back in the day, you just used to put your kids to work and have them go out and garden and milk the cows back in the day. That's what he's doing with these kids. He's like, okay, well, you're gonna work.
And it could go back to, we talked about it a little bit a couple episodes ago, about Kevin's dependency. Where he's like, he needs other people. Like, he didn't even want to be in the hotel room because he was like, it's so big, you really notice how quiet it is and how alone you feel. I think mm-hmm. he even his nieces, who are what, 8 and 5, I would guess, he's even dependent on them because he needs something, a support system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have mm-hmm. so we have people listening online to the podcast. We also have people in the live chat as well. And one of the people in our live chat, B. Lee, said that Kevin was on set with the kids a lot for his TV show, The Manny. So he would think that he would know how to interact with kids more. And I think that is a good point. But mm-hmm. at the end of the episode, we do get to see Kevin open up to his nieces because he actually is really great with kids. He just, mm-hmm. I don't know if he's conscious of that. I don't know if it's a conscious choice, but he can kind of get and play make-believe and tell them stories and be, like, brutally honest, as we saw mm-hmm. with the death scene. Would you have told your nieces, like, people just die?
No. No, absolutely not. But there's also a difference between someone who's good playing with kids mm-hmm. than someone actually raising kids. Mm. And Kevin is not that.
No.
That was going to be my question. I was going to say, I don't know how it works on TV sets, but how much interaction would there have been with the children actors and Kevin? Would he have had that time to sit down and really build that relationship? Or is it more so action, you say your lines, and then cut?
Exactly. From what I've seen, it's more the second way.
Okay.
It's more they're off with their mom or whoever's handling them, and then they come in for the scene. But
yeah, that's exactly it. It's like you know how to work with kids, but that doesn't mean you know how to raise them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Totally.
But, I mean,
I do think that it's interesting that we get to see him interact with the kids, and I also really enjoyed the part where he has a painting, so we get to see another side of Kevin, mm-hmm. which I was really excited to see, and we get to see Kevin make a painting of what he feels about the script, so that he really gave it thought, you know? And it was really beautiful that he explains it to that at the end, and then it ties everything all together mm-hmm. with Jack and, like, Kevin.
Yeah, it was a sweet moment.
That was a beautiful mm-hmm. monologue.
Yeah, I loved that. Any thoughts on Rebecca this episode? We learned a lot about Rebecca.
I was just excited she's saying. A lot.
Sing, we've been waiting for that one.
A lot of people were excited that Mandy Moore got to sing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it seemed like to me that that's what she was aspiring to be, mm-hmm. was a singer.
Yes.
That was mm-hmm. my question. Definitely. Was like, okay, so that was her goal at 29 mm-hmm. there in the bars, that she kind of wanted to be doing the rounds in the music scene. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of her struggle was, like she said, she's about to turn 30, and that's a big point, you know, when you kind of do. It was one of those milestones when you look at, like, oh, I haven't quite done everything that I wanted to do yet. She's feels like everybody else around her is having kids, but she's not feeling ready for that either. So, yeah, so we do learn about a lot, and I think she did have her dreams to be a singer, and she was upset that she was still just singing at Froggy's instead of maybe somewhere bigger and having more success.
People were yelling her off the stage because they wanted to hurry up and watch the game.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting, even because that took place in the 70s, I believe.
Yeah,
that was 70s. No, because the kids were born in the 70s, yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting that she was kind of, I would say, as the anomaly of the people in that time, and she recognized it in herself. But nowadays it's kind of flipped, where it's like women or families are being created later and later in life.
Yes.
And so very it's true. Like having 3 kids by the time you're 25 is not as quote unquote normal now as it was back when Rebecca was younger. I just think that was interesting.
Definitely a good point. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I love her singing voice. She's amazing, Mandy Moore. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking, I was like, she could be a great country artist. You know, just singing Linda Ronstadt. I was like, yes, she could totally do a country album. I would totally buy it.
Agree.
Just saying. But, like, but I do like her moment in this episode because I think all of us, for the most part, can relate because we are very career-driven. I'm assuming we don't all have kids right now. But, I mean, it's focusing, like, where you want to be in life and what's expected out of society. And, like, if you're not there yet and maybe you're not even ready, it's like we can all relate to that, mm-hmm. especially being, like, late 20s, you know, in that specific demographic. It's like, yeah, you want to focus on your career first. That's not bad. That's not wrong.
Yeah, I mm-hmm. guess I was just confused as if she was, like, no children or if she just hadn't thought of it. And it was hard to see them, you know, the inappropriate timing of that come to a head mm-hmm. at the bar at this big game where, you know, Rebecca and Jack were both looking forward to it and finally seeing their friends, Miguel, who's married with children.
So confusing.
I'm scandalized.
I don't think on your comics, I know you said that when you were watching too, I don't think she's anti-children. Like, I take it as, you know, we do, like, I joke too when I go to my brother has two kids and I'm like, oh, you know, glad sending them back to you, you know, but I'm right. not anti-children. But there is the joke amongst people who don't have kids and you see, like, kids having a breakdown in the restaurant or somewhere else and it's like, oh, I'm not having kids, or like, glad you're dealing, you know. So I think she's just in that real moment where, you know, I think I don't know if she's fully decided. Like, I know she loves him and wants to have the family and probably dreams of that, but she also has these other things she wants to do. And is that saying goodbye to the things that she wants to accomplish if she has the kids now? Like, I don't think she just wasn't ready for that conversation and definitely not ready for it during the middle of the Super Bowl at a bar.
That was a little abrupt. I mean, would you want to have that conversation in front of your friends at a bar? I wouldn't.
No way.
But it was, I think it was replaying over and over in Jack's mind because he said that was the second time she had brought it up. If you're joking about it once every 2-3 months, it's a different thing than to say it twice in one day.
Right.
That really makes him start to think, okay, is she really serious about not wanting kids? Like,
yeah.
Okay, now we need to talk about this. He just didn't wait until after the game was over.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't allow himself to enjoy the game.
I mean, I did like, and they're pointing out in the chat that, you know, Rebecca did ask Jack to teach her about football so that she wouldn't become a football widow, is the term, like her mom did. And there's a, I mean, my entire family's about football, so I don't watch it. when it's entertainment. But I can relate to that because, I mean, my entire family gets together and no one's allowed to talk during the game. It's very old fashioned. And so just seeing her being like, can we talk about it? Can we, like, goof off during the game? Like, can we get to have players together? And he was like, yeah. And it was a really sweet moment. Like, oh, it was just really good to see.
And it ties into what Jack had experienced as a child himself about not having such a great relationship with his father, but sitting down and watching the game, even though he wasn't allowed to talk during it, that was a time that he and his dad were able to be together. So I think when Rebecca was like, well, teach me about it, I think he was kind of like, okay. Like, let's be able to have that that conversation during the game that I didn't get to have. And so...
Also, not to cut you up. But it's also, it's like, just for them to share something together with. You know, you can see the relationship, like, having more fun, even, you know, more so. And it's just something that those two can share and bond over with. And then that translates to the current generation of the kids that we see. And I liked it. I liked how it translated from Jack's family and just kept getting passed on.
Do you think that you would have punched the drunk at the bar for interrupting their conversation?
I didn't mind that, to be honest. Like, I thought the guy was kind of an asshole.
Like,
I don't feel like it's not like, and it wasn't like Jack was the one being, like, verbally aggressive to him. He's the one that kept doing it. So, to be honest, I kind of liked that he was standing up for his lady. So it didn't bother me.
I thought it was sexy. Yeah. I totally understand why they got it on at the end.
Oh, like, yeah.
It's a major turn on. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I mean, like, part of me was like, that was inappropriate. And part of me was like, if you punch someone for me, done.
Exactly.
Well, I took it as Jack was just so angry and he couldn't do anything to Rebecca that there was somebody there that was... He could retaliate on.
Yeah, well, also you gotta remember, like, the guy who's being very belligerent was, like, very degrading of the woman.
Like,
talking back to a woman in, like, a very disrespectful
calling
way.
Her the woman.
Yeah.
Your woman.
Control your woman.
Exactly. So it was like, he was very degrading. I was like, yeah, punch him. He deserved it.
Yeah.
Bye.
I'm with you guys. I think we would punch him too, but probably just because it would be more fun than watching football for me. It's okay though. Randall is pretty almost on the back burner for this episode. It feels like we get to see more of Beth center stage, which I'm actually excited about because I didn't realize that Beth had taken so much time off of work. But it was interesting to see that she had focused so much on the kids to this point, and then she was like, you know, I switched to my birth control. There might have been a window, and he was like, a window! And I was like, that's how birth control works. It's scary stuff. Hormones are scary stuff, guys. So, it was interesting to see a little bit more of Beth. I wonder, do we pick up what she does for a living, Beth?
I don't think yet.
I don't think so.
Not yet.
I'm excited to see her go back to work now that she's...
I think it has to be some type of office job. Mm-hmm. The fact that she said, now I'm going to share it with a kid and a home office. Mm-hmm. So I think it's something like that deals with paper or something legal, I imagine.
I did to see that, that doesn't sound right, but anyway, that parallel between what Randall and Beth were going through and what Jack and Rebecca were going through, with the, you didn't tell me this, like Rebecca saying to Jack, you didn't have that discussion with me about having kids. Randall and Beth, you didn't have that conversation with me about Charleston. I liked
that. Mm-hmm. More mirroring, like we talked last episode.
I like that between the two, how they each navigated their way through it.
There's a little bit of a theory that, that multiples experience things together, and I like where this is going. Because there's a lot of duplicate events happening in characters' lives, kind of in the same, not maybe at the same time, but in the same episode. But I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we see Kevin interact with Randall's biological father, William, which I really enjoy. I feel like that was some unexpected chemistry between William and Kevin. I loved it.
Yeah, I definitely liked them. I liked that. I liked him, you know, calling him the wise old owl and the mm-hmm. do voiceover. And so definitely Kevin could relate to him. I saw the, like, the artistic side of him and the soft side of them that connected.
I agree. Fun. And I liked how they both could really just relate to each other and understand each other. And I think this could be a cool bromance, I guess, you can watch on the show. But it, maybe this might be an early prediction. But I can totally see if, for some reason, William doesn't get through to Randall or Randall doesn't get through to William when it comes to the health and well-being of William, that maybe Kevin could be the one who talks to Randall and maybe convince him to change something. So, like, I can see that conversation work up. They're building up another relationship, another voice to talk to William within reason.
And I think it would be a redeeming relationship for Kevin because we have always we keep seeing him being a little selfish and into, you know, not quite being too concerned with other people's relationships. So I think you're right. I could see him stepping up big for him.
Yeah.
Doing some sacrifice, something.
Yeah, I enjoy the, I don't know if they're going to be a bromance. I think they're going to be a little odd couple. I think they're going to be yin and yang, and I think that's why they will take advice from each other. Even just hearing, like, William being like, so you're a Labrador Retriever, and that's okay. And you were really good on that one show that you did, that you thought was beneath you. You were really good, and I really liked watching you. And he was like, thanks, I shouldn't have left. And we were like, you were great, like, you were fantastic at what you do. Like, not everyone can do that. Just because you think it's easy doesn't mean that it doesn't have value. And it was good. You could see him, like, hear that validation for the first time. And I was like, oh, I like this. I like the two of them. And then, of course, he was like, can you read? And I was like, okay, he ruined the moment. He ruined it.
Well, he said that a long time before. which was still terrible. Yeah, but at least he didn't say that right after that moment because that would have been horrible. I mean, it was terrible. Because even you said, you're like, was he joking? He was not joking. Yeah. Was he?
He tried to play it off, but it didn't work.
No.
I do like the trust that Kevin has with William. It was almost an automatic thing where it was like, oh, when they met each other in the last episode, to now sitting down and having that very real conversation about William telling Kevin that he doubts himself and that he shouldn't because he has the talent. He you know, he has the ability to be successful. But he just has to know it within himself. So kind of, not to parallel again, but with Kate and Toby, how Toby's trying to get Kate to feel that confidence in herself, I think William's going to be that for Kevin. And it's an outside voice, so sometimes we listen to outside voices better than we'll listen to a friend. So I think it'll work better with William.
I agree with that 100%. There's got to be some word for, like, when you meet a stranger and you're like, here's my whole life story, because they don't know you, and, like, so you don't really care if they judge you. And then you, like, go talk to your sibling and you're like, how you doing? Good. And you're like, don't want to give them, like, all your junk, you know, because you feel like it might be too much. But with a stranger, you're like, ah, well, here's all my insecurities, because it was lovely to see that, like, so perfectly. I just love them together. But I guess he's going to be leaving soon because they want him out of the house. He's overstayed his welcome.
Yeah. But I think that's kind of good, though, because Kevin needs to find himself on his own. And we're talking about, like, codependency issues that he has. He really does need to find out what he's truly good at, what makes him happy on his own. He doesn't need other people to tell him. He needs to just go find himself.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
That's why I enjoyed having the actress from the previous episode be like, what are you doing? Kind of, like, giving a little bit of really harsh constructive criticism, but like all of it was like for his best interest, and he was starting to listen to it, and then he kind of got the job and he's like, well, I guess I'm staying here. But it was interesting to see that he doesn't have a manager or like an acting coach, or like an acting, no one in his acting world that he connects to, which maybe will be future episodes. But it was interesting that he's worked this long in the industry and he doesn't have a buddy, but he is in a new state. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he truly can't be alone. And I was like, why not give your room to your brother? He wants it. And he did. I'm so happy.
I was going to say, his agent, that's who we saw a couple episodes ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Katie Sagal's character.
Yeah.
That was his agent. Okay. Yes. So she's not, and she doesn't seem like the type that you can just pick up the phone and be like, let me tell you everything that's going on.
No. Yeah.
She'll be like, she's what?
Ball buster.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the difference between the agent and the manager, right? Is the agent gets you the jobs and they're busy, and the manager is pretty much gets the 10% for listening to you and being supportive. It's generally the stereotype of agents and managers. So, she would terrify me. I would never call agent Katie Sagal. I'm feeling doubtful. She would be like,
suck it up. That's all. Suck it up.
Done.
Suck it up. Yeah. Let's see. Kate has a weird Steelers ritual where she watches football with her dad. And we didn't understand why she was weird about football until the very end, which I thought was really sweet. Any thoughts? Any football fans in here?
Yes. Oh, I'm totally a football fan. Yes. But my whole family's like that. We're in Nebraska from grandma to, yeah, it's all, we're that Cornhuskers, same. Yeah.
My yep. family's also mm-hmm. Cornhuskers, so I am by default.
Really?
Yes.
Where are they from?
I don't know. Nebraska. Well, like, okay, so everyone in my
family, yeah, right. And we're just over here.
Everyone
like
in my family was from Nebraska, except for my dad, who's the baby, and he was born in California. And then I was born in California, so I don't know. But Nebraska, that's where they're all from.
I'll ask more questions. Longer conversation later, as Kev would say.
Off the mic.
Yeah.
That's cute. I am, well, like, I appreciate football. I appreciate the people who can play football, because I certainly can. I have nothing against it. I think it was a really sweet moment, though, that we learned a little bit more about Kate. It seemed like, now with all the episodes that we've seen so far, it seems like Kate has the strongest relationship with her father than she does over her mother.
Mm-hmm. Well, someone brought up in the chat that they thought it was really interesting that Kate seems to get her singing from her mom and her football fandom from her dad, which I thought was like a really cute, not balance, but we'll give from each one. But she doesn't really want to sing. So maybe she...
Or does she?
I think she's afraid of singing. I think she's afraid of rejection and people rejecting her singing. Mm-hmm. Just because of her, you know, her personal looks or in her internal struggles that she always fights. But I think if she really wanted to sing, she can.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, I just liked this character building of Kate. And it's so sweet, especially at the end where it just kind of, like, rips your heart out at the same time. You're like, oh, no. Yeah. Jack died.
Yeah.
Yeah, and let's spoiler. Talk about how effed up, though, it was. I thought it was so sweet when Toby passes the note in the meeting and, like, makes this whole cute little card to have her come watch the game with it. You know, I was giving him tons of points for that. But I completely agree with her. My reaction would have been the exact same if I then showed up thinking it was just going to be him and I watching the game and there's some guy there who's, like, talking during the game and standing in front of the TV and blah, blah, blah. I would have been out, too. So I was a little disappointed in Toby, the fact that he knew that this was something she liked to do alone and something that he had to try to make all that effort to get to do it with her, but then he ruined it by inviting somebody else. And I thought Toby was smarter to know that, but...
Oh, Toby is me, though. I related so hard because he set out a whole plate and he made sure there was, like, broccoli on the invitation. Right. Like, it was so cute and so thoughtful. And he was like, well, I don't like sports ball, but she does and I can do all the things. And he's like, I got a big TV, da da da. He's like, I'll invite the one friend I know who likes sports ball over to the thing. And then I'll tell her entertaining stories. Isn't this fun? And she's like, no! And I was like, yep, that's me. I am Toby. I don't understand. And, like, I get it. I give people who like sports their space because it's such a sacred ritual. And when she said she wanted to watch it alone, at first I was like, rude, because they just started dating. But then I was like, actually, I understand that sports is a big deal and you should probably give her space now.
Yeah. I was just going to say, it frustrated me so bad when even when he passed her the invitation, because I was like, just listen to her.
Yeah.
You want her to hear you last episode with your ex-wife. Listen to her when she says, this is my moment. This is my thing. I watched the game by myself. Yeah. And when he didn't, I was just like, ah. And then even when she walked in and Scooter was there, I was like, why? You're adding insult to injury at that point. Mm-hmm. Like, she already doesn't probably want to be there. And then having somebody else there, it's just, oh, it was frustrating.
He probably thought he was helping, but...
Right. I think it was just more frustrating to watch because we've seen all these episodes he's so supportive and he can read her. And the fact that this episode he was, like, so unaware of what was mm-hmm. happening and how and wasn't reading the room and how affected she was, I think that was just kind of disappointing. We're like, come on, Toby. We know you're smarter than this. We know you can pick up cues coming from Kate. But I did like the all the healthy food that they were trying to, you know, yeah. have in the diet, like jicama and... Or
Hikama. Yeah. Hikama. It was like an LA Super Bowl party.
Yeah, like all the...
All healthy food.
Healthy food. But you know what? Speaking of food, have you guys heard of HelloFresh?
No.
No.
Tell me about it.
Well, let me tell you about it. As you guys know, we provide all of our content here at AfterBuzz for absolutely free. And one of the ways we can do that is HelloFresh. The cool thing about HelloFresh, they are the meal kit delivery service that makes cooking fun, easy, and convenient. I'm not a cook, but so I know this would be super helpful in my house. Each week, HelloFresh creates new delicious recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take around 30 minutes for everyone from novices, like me, and seasoned home cooks in a short amount of time. And they have the freshest ingredients measured to the exact quantities needed, so there's no food wasted or anything. You're not measuring things wrong. And they employ a full-time registered dietitian on staff who reviews each recipe to ensure it's nutritionally balanced.
Oh, that's thoughtful.
So, like, Kate and Toby could totally use this. I can see them eating it. And they deliver it right to your doorstep in a pretty cool, specialized, insulated box. And, yeah, it gets right to your house. And the cool thing is, I mean, I haven't used it, but I kind of want to use it now. I'm not a cook. But the great thing about HelloFresh is that if you go to HelloFresh.com and enter the keyword buzz, that's B-U-Z-Z, at HelloFresh.com, enter buzz, B-U-Z-Z, and you can get your first week of deliveries with $35 off your first week of deliveries at HelloFresh.com. B-U-Z-Z when you subscribe, and then just start the process, and then you can be cooking right away,
and then you don't have to go grocery shopping anymore, which exactly. I hate, so yeah. I'm a fan of it.
So save your time at the grocery store and don't overspend, and it's very affordable for and it helps people who have trouble measuring stuff like I do.
Oh yeah. Me too.
Me and numbers. No. So HelloFresh.com B-U-Z-Z promo code.
Sounds Yay. Like a great deal.
Yeah, use that too.
Love it. yeah. So, speaking of food, and Toby spreading out the whole beautiful little broccoli and jicama spread for the Super Bowl, little cutie. Was he sick in the beginning of the episode? Did I miss something?
Yeah, no, it looked like he was.
He was, like, deathly ill, and then he was like, I'm here, and I was like, what? And also, like, at the very end of the episode, we see a huge montage that kind of threw me, and I think, you know, JJ said that... You know, you think that they were maybe doing a what's to come, but we see Randall over the bed, like, holding his dad's hat, like he died.
Yeah, we want to hear what you guys think about that, too, because we were wondering. So, yeah, that was the only thing. My guess was that since he was telling that whole story, it was kind of a little glimpse of the future of what we were going to see of after Randall passed away. Or, I'm sorry, not Randall. William passed away.
But I was going to say, that'd be a whole different show.
We don't want to see that. What did you guys think?
I was just very confused. I didn't know. Now, listening to you guys talk about it, I don't know if he was just being organized and kind of preparing for William's departure.
But why would he have his hat?
And a box.
I don't know.
Like, yeah.
It was, maybe it'll come up at some point later, like you're saying, JJ.
Or, I'm trying to think positive.
Yeah.
Or maybe they actually... properly invite William to move into the house.
But where are they putting things in a box?
Yeah.
Or
I'm trying to think.
I want to go with you.
Those were William's old clothes and they're donating them.
He's passing them on.
Okay. Maybe.
Or. Yeah, I can go with that. One more. While we're at it. Let's just go really positive. Maybe it's later and actually everything went okay with William. Now he's going to move out to his own place.
Okay. We can go with that. I don't think it's that one,
but I'm going to go. There's so many avenues that we can go down. This is great.
Choose your destiny.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, please, please tweet us all your predictions on what is happening with William's hat. We need to know. The show creators are probably not going to tell us for a few more episodes, and we're all very concerned.
Hashtag what's in the box or something. Hashtag yeah.
What's in the box. Yeah, because the past hashtag was hashtag where's Jack, mm-hmm. and now we find out that he doesn't quite make it to 2016, but that's okay. He lives a good enough, long enough of a life, at least till 2006. We don't know about him before then. I don't want to get into any predictions. That's it's a few minutes from now. It's not right now. Yeah, I couldn't tell if they were flashbacks or flash forwards. So I got thrown, for sure. But this is the show that likes to kind of keep you on your toes. So I respect absolutely. That. Mm-hmm. I respect their game. Any other thoughts before we get into predictions?
Going back to the game. When Toby paused it, I literally froze because I was like, don't.
Yeah.
As a football fan, I love to watch. I'm like, Kate, I love to watch them live as they're happening. Don't pause the game.
And especially not at that moment.
Yeah. No.
Right when they were moving down the field. Yeah.
Well, I can understand because he's not like an avid watcher, so he doesn't get it necessarily. But I'm just like, no. Yeah. She was like, I got to go.
Yeah.
She was like, that was it. Final straw.
Yeah.
Deal breaker.
And I think she played that. I really enjoyed her acting and all that scene, too. Because, like, it's one of my pet peeves is sometimes I hate it when television shows and stuff try to make women as sports fans. And it sometimes comes off cheesy and ungenuine, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It just bugs the crap out of me. But anyways, I thought she did a really great job. I believed it all that she was a super fan and that was killing her and that she needed out of there. I just thought the acting was great.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised she didn't have a terrible towel, though.
Yeah.
Just swing around. Because those are...
I was confused because she came over to Toby's house, but then at the end she pulled out the urn.
She left.
She would have had the terrible towel at home and everything. I think maybe she was trying to tone herself down majorly for
she
Toby.
Did still have the hat.
Yeah.
At Toby's?
No, at her house.
Oh, yeah.
The lucky like, hat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they paused the TV, I was like, I don't know football, but I know not to do that. I know that I'm going to get yelled at if I do that.
Or stand in front of the TV.
It's just like so engrossed
in the
game.
Walk in front of the TV.
Yeah.
It's just rude.
Just don't add advice to everybody else. Just don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't.
Wait till commercial.
Yeah. That's what they're there for.
Yes.
Oh, man, that could have been a deal breaker, though. I thought she did really good with being like, honey, can you not block the TV?
Yeah,
she was trying so hard not to be like, "What are you doing?" I thought that was good.
Yeah.
She could have totally flipped and done a crazy moment, but she didn't. She held it together, even though the friend was supposed to be a sports fan and he wasn't really dialed in.
I don't know what was going on.
Not at all. Yeah,
I think the friend was just like an overly social person who just wanted to have fun.
That's probably true. That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah, so a lot of people in the chat are saying that at the beginning Kevin was talking about his ancestors and there was a lot of flashbacks, and then the flashback went all the way to Ellis Island, but that doesn't cover Randall sitting on his bed, which was the point we were talking about just a second ago. Just wanted to correct that. We did go all the way back to Ellis Island. We saw Kevin's dad's dad's dad.
Yeah. That's what led me to believe that this was a future one, because I felt like that's the whole story he was telling with the painting. It was about the whole lifespan, and you know, and then he's his whole point that he's even when they die, they're all still there and all part of the picture. So I felt like we started with the ancestors and we ended when somebody actually is passing away and it's all together in that moment.
Make me want to go back and watch the episode. The writing is so good. Dan Fogelman.
It is so good.
Dan so Fogelman.
Oh my god, I would love to have him in here.
I know.
Just to pick his brain and see how he gets from point A to point B and like all the little avenues that he takes to get us there. It's wonderful.
Oh yeah.
Well, if you're having withdrawals from This Is Us, he also writes another show called Pitch on Fox.
I know.
Which is also wonderfully done.
Yes.
Just putting it out there. Any other thoughts before we get into predictions? Anything else that you had swimming around in your hearts?
I mean, we quickly touched upon it, but, like, I did really enjoy Kevin's monologue. Because even though, like, he's the dopey Labrador, he does have moments where he's super real. Mm-hmm. And he's actually, we can understand him. Like, this, it's not just one thing. Life is a confusing mess, and we are just part of a bigger picture. And I like just the whole message and the takeaway of the whole monologue. I thought it was brilliant. I
agree.
So well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Loved it.
And not to kind of liven up what you just said, but I made the parallel in my own mind at one point for him, for Kevin, to Eric Matthews from Boy Meets World, where he was the kind of goof, not kind of, he was the goofy older brother, whatever, but he would have these moments where he would say something and it would just be so profound. And so I agree with you, Marissa, that I think that's where Kevin's strength is. He might say bad jokes and everything, but he has these moments where he's just, you know, so wise, which is fun to watch.
That's why I love him with the kids and William. Get to see his guard down a little bit more. It's good.
Yeah.
All right, great. Well, if there's no other thoughts, I guess we'll move into predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right, let's start with you, Erica. You started off the show with leading into your predictions. I was liking them. They were dark, and I liked it.
Oh. Okay, well, I'm still going to stick with, I think Jack might have gotten sick. And that's where that split happened. I am interested in seeing how, and I guess we all are, how Rebecca and Miguel got together, going further into that. Because like you were saying earlier, we saw him with a wife and they have kids. I'm interested in to see what happened there. Those are my two big things.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, we saw in the preview that Randall is quote-unquote gifted. Mm-hmm. And we saw, like, from flashback episodes, like, he can solve the Rubik's Cube, which I can't do. I mean, like, am I gifted? I don't know. And but like,
yes, she is.
I can see like this can be a learning and a disconnect, and I think this is like the slow build disconnect between Kevin and Randall at such a young age that they're so already growing apart in different scales there. And I think maybe Randall skipped a grade because he seemed. I mean, yes, they're all technically the same age, but it seems like he's accomplished more in life than those two have. Just a little bit.
More than Kevin?
More than Kevin.
Okay.
Like, just in different ways. Like, Kevin's very accomplished in his way as well, but, like, I feel like Randall got other things that maybe Kevin couldn't have because of his high intellect. Maybe.
I'm excited. Little Randall.
Well, I think the only thing I see coming is I do think the, I mean, there's obviously more we can talk about, but if I'm going to stick with one prediction, I think that Kevin is going to have a new hot flame with the girl that's resisting him and hates him so much. I don't know her. I can't remember her name from the theater. Olivia? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think Olivia is not going to be able to resist the Labrador.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, as soon as they bumped into each other on the street, I was like, so love interest.
Yeah.
I would love it if it wasn't true, but... This show has tripped us up before when we thought one thing was going to happen, so we'll be on our toes about that. They had me fooled with Beth's pregnancy, so. I predict that I want to see more, I guess this isn't as a prediction as much as I'm more interested in seeing how Rebecca gets together with Miguel, because I feel like that's a natural inclination after your... lonely, you have this really stable man who you've known and trusted your whole life. Like, I get that if anything goes wrong with Jack. I want to see what happens with Jack and Rebecca. What, is it a mistake that he does? Is it drinking related? Because we all thought in the early episodes that it was drinking related, and that kind of hasn't been addressed in a while, which makes me still think it is going to be drinking related, which I hope it's not. I hope he doesn't get sick. I hope he doesn't die, but I don't know. And then I thought it was really interesting that Miguel had a really, seemingly really young wife. So maybe they partner swap or something that happens later. Because Miguel was like, oh, you know, you never get this life again. And he was like, yeah, but I want kids, man. So I was like, maybe then the blonde younger wife can be like, I've always wanted kids. Come be with me. I don't know. It was very interesting that, like, he slid that in there. And then in the pilot, he slid in there like, oh, you got a good woman. You got a good thing. Like, it was very, I don't know. It just felt like a little breadcrumb there for what's happening with Jack. There's... something there. But there will be step siblings, will there not?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. So where are the step siblings?
Oh, that's a whole other level.
That is true.
Mm-hmm. Season 2 of Step Siblings. All right, guys. Well, we're going to wrap this up. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Please let everyone know where they can find you on the internet.
Thanks for watching, guys. You can keep the conversation going with me, Erica Shannon, on Twitter at Miss Airy Baby.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Serafini TV.
And you can follow me at JJ Jorgens.
And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Amber Plaster. Thanks so much, guys, and we'll see you guys same time, same place next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.